Welcome to season two of Career Resilience, where we talk with people about their career path and their career journey, and maybe we can all learn from each other. My name is Jan Daniluk, and I'm a human resources consultant in London, Ontario, Canada. I work with Ford Keast LLP, providing human resources advice and counsel to my business clients. I also support people through individual one-on-one coaching in helping with career development. I hope you will enjoy our series where we talk with ordinary, extraordinary people. We get to hear about interesting journeys. We get to talk with people about failures, successes, advice, and counsel to us as we develop our own careers. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with these people, and I hope you will enjoy listening to it. And now for some logistics. Please subscribe on YouTube, or if you're a listener, please follow me wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a chance, I hope you'll visit my website, career-resilience.com. Welcome. So my guest today is Lindsay Call. Lindsay, welcome to Career Resilience.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited and honored to be on today.
Oh, that's so nice. So we're going to focus today on talking about being a single mom and career and how, you know, you meld those two things together, because it's not the easiest of things to do. And I think it is kind of funny that you and I are meeting late in the evening because you're a single mom. So here we are. So for context, let's get right into things. What do you do professionally? What's your job?
Yeah. So professionally, I work for a large bank, and my job title, I don't even know how to describe it really. It's kind of all things these days, but the official title is business resource officer. So my job is I support the back end of the call center. So I work specifically in the credit card and the fraud business, and I support like all their partners, escalations, I support agent escalations, and just, yeah, a lot of different things kind of thrown at me, but yeah, I work for a large bank.
Are you full-time or part-time?
Full-time, full-time.
Okay. And so your work week is 35 hours a week?
Yep. 37 and a half hours.
Well, 37 and a half. Okay. Yep. Sometimes it's 35, sometimes it's 37 and a half, and sometimes it's 40, but we don't like to think about that too much. So you have a son, Beckham. How old is Beckham?
Oh, Beckham. He turned 3 in June. Where has time gone? 3 going on 15.
Oh, he's that kind of boy. Okay.
So he's strong.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low and 10 being high, where is your, how much you love him?
I don't know if there's a number large enough to quantify it.
Yeah, because you're a mom.
And I remember everybody would always say, you know, you don't get it until you're in it. And you really don't. You really don't. It's my, like my actual heart outside of my body. So I don't think I could quantify it, as I'm sure you can relate to.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a mom, and I have a daughter who I adore. And when I'm hanging out with her, my world is complete. So I know what you mean. A mom is a really special kind of love. So, mm-hmm. Okay, so we understand what you do. We understand that you have a three-year-old and that you're crazy about him. So let's start talking about career resilience. And how do you balance your work and your responsibilities as a mom?
Oh, that's such a good question. And I've put a lot of thought into that this week. And I think some days I feel like I don't balance it very well. But I think the biggest thing that I do that helps is a support system. So to balance kind of the work, home aspect, I also have a dog, a cat, I own a house. And so I think trying to balance all of that, it's support. That's my biggest thing that I have going for me that helps is family, friends, community, is support and building a really robust support system, and also a lot of self-care. So I think anybody that's busy and balancing things, whether you're a single mom or not, to help with all of the kind of competing priorities is self-care and taking care of yourself first so that you can be present for those other things as well.
Is this like when you're on an airplane and they say, put the mask on you first before you put it on?
And it's true. And I always struggled with that. That was something I didn't really understand, was I was always very much a giver and I never had boundaries to say, hey, I can't take this on. I can't do that. I am really tired. Hey, I need help. And so over the last couple of years, I've really been forced to step into that and being comfortable with asking for support and asking for help, because you do have to put your own mask on first. And I think that's a big key thing for anybody balancing multiple and competing priorities, right?
So what is your definition around self-care? What does that involve for you, Lindsay?
You know, it depends, right? And I think you have to be really flexible in that too, right? I don't have a ton of time to go to boutique yoga classes or... So for me, self-care looks like reading. I love to read. I love reading. I love unwinding at the end of the day with a book. Meditation and exercise is a really big one. So I couldn't find time to even go to a gym lately. So I've put a bike in the middle of my living room. And it's just, you work with it, right? Put it in a place where you're going to use it and make it as easy as possible. So exercise, reading, personal development books, and sleep, eating well, vitamins, everything, right? Everything that you can to try and take care of yourself.
Now, Beckham's dad is active in his life. Because we're in a long-term relationship. So how does that help?
I don't know what I would do without him. He's a wonderful man and he's such a good dad. And I think that we make a really good team. And so he helps because he has him, depending on the week, he has him 3, sometimes 4 days a week. And he's a huge help for me. Just today, Beckham's really sick, so we had to keep him home from daycare. And so his dad came over and watched him in the morning for me so I could work. So we make a good team.
Has it always been that way, or was that a place that you got to?
Right after we separated, there was a point where it was really difficult for a while, and not even because we harbored ill feelings, because it's hard, right? It's a big transition for both of us. But I think we both had the end goal of a healthy co-parenting relationship. So I was very lucky that regardless of what happened between us, we both had the same goals and the same vision for what our future was going to look like. So I am very lucky and very blessed that I would say probably pretty quickly after, maybe just a couple months after, we really worked things out and got into a good routine together. And I think we do a fantastic job of co-parenting. So
it certainly sounds like it. Does it ever create problems?
Well, sure it does. Sure it does. And I think it's not even necessarily that we do anything intentionally, but I think we're both different people. So when you parent together in one household, you're parenting together. But when you're doing it separately, I think we have different parenting styles. So sometimes we'll have, I wouldn't even say they're arguments, but sometimes we'll disagree on like something we want to implement with him or like a discipline strategy. But even then still, we work through it well. And I find we both also pivot well with our career, right? He works full-time, I work full-time. So we're both really good at making the sacrifice and taking time off work when we need and just being there to put Beckham first.
What's good about being a single mom?
I'm going to feel really guilty saying this, but I think if you talk to any single parent, they'll agree. It is kind of nice to get a little bit of you time. And I think that for people sometimes that are living with their spouse and parenting together, you can almost feel guilty asking for that time for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So I think... And I've had this conversation with a few of my like friends that are single moms as well, or even single dads. And they just say, it's really nice to get some time to yourself. You know, it's kind of the best of a worst case scenario. As much as you miss them and you just look at pictures of them and videos of them the whole time they're gone, it is really nice sometimes to catch your breath and reset after a busy week. And you almost need that when you're doing it alone the other days.
That actually makes total sense to me. It's funny though, on one of my episodes in season one, I talked to a married mom. So she and her husband are raising the kids together. And we talked about single parenthood. And I said to her, you know, what do you think of, you know, how single parents cope? Because it was all about coping as a couple with careers. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't even know how they do it. I really don't. And I have great sympathy for that. But we were also chatting about the fact that, this sounds terrible, but that maybe it would be nice to have to be isolated in like a nice hotel.
And that's it, you know, if I feel like nobody wants that. Nobody chooses that. Nobody goes into parenting wanting to raise your kid in separate homes. But I think the reality is you have to find something good in it. You have to make the best of the situation you're given. Yeah. So I try every time he's gone, as hard as it is, I just think, thank goodness he's safe. He's loved. He's in an amazing place with an awesome dad and awesome family that loves him. And now I get to sit down and have some wine by myself and watch a movie, right? You know, and you have to savor those moments to make the best of it.
Yeah, I think that's so true. But you have the main custody. Is that how it, so tell me how that part works.
We didn't really do that. We didn't need to. We just share equally. Things are really amicable. Yeah. People always say, like, do you have an agreement? Do you have set days? No, we just work together. And if he misses him, he can take him. And we just, we don't have anything like that.
Well, that's neat. I think that's all part two of being the kind of person that you are, which is this incredibly positive person. And that's one of the things that I wanted to ask you in terms of how do you stay so positive, Lindsay?
It's not easy some days. It's not. And some days I do get discouraged. And even in that, I try and force myself. But I think the biggest thing that I do is just surround myself with positive people. My family is really positive. My friends are really positive. And it's just the culture I kind of immerse myself in, right? I read a lot of personal development books. I really like self-help. I just try to keep positive things around me.
Yeah. I know that you like certain sayings and mantras and so on. Can you just share a couple? Because obviously I follow you on Instagram and sometimes you'll pop up a saying and I'll think, oh my gosh, that's so good. And I'll actually, you know, take a screen grab of it just because I think that's something I want to think about. So what are a couple that you really like that you find helpful to you?
I think my favorite quote, I have it on my fridge actually, is the more validation you need, the less discernment you have. And that's not necessarily like a positive quote, but it's one that I always keep with me, right? The more validation you seek externally, the less discernment you have, right? And so when you're internally validating yourself, you can have so much discernment in the choices around you, right? When you are fully validated. So that's a big quote that I look at almost every day, every day.
And so you're talking about external validation versus internal validation?
Yep. Yep. The more validation you seek, the less discernment you have.
That's interesting. Why did that strike you?
I've had that quote for a really long time. And to give you a really honest answer, I think I wasn't as confident as I am now in the person I am. And I think I always sought to be validated by pleasing others, right? By doing really good at work, by being a great child, by being a really great person, by over contributing to my community and doing all these things and burning myself out. And then I realized, what am I seeking from overextending myself? What validation am I looking for, right? I need to validate myself. And then I can have better discernment in how I extend my time.
Okay.
And what I consume. And so that's really stuck with me for years.
That's a good one. So give us one more.
It's kind of corny and a bit classic, but I also really like I think it's Wayne Gretzky. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I really like that one. And I always look to that. You just have to go for things. You don't know what's going to come out of something unless you try it. Yeah. And also get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
What have you done most recently that was you getting comfortable with being uncomfortable?
Oh, I could say being on this podcast. It's new for me. I've never done that. So my first thought when you asked, I thought, oh, that would be really great. And I thought, well, I've never done that before. That's kind of uncomfortable for me. And then I thought that's the exact reason why you need to do it.
Okay, good for you. I wanted to talk a little bit about your career in terms of your career plan and how you want to manage your career, and if that changed with Beckham being part of your life?
Long before I was pregnant, many years ago, I was in a few car accidents. And so to save you kind of the long details, I had some pretty significant physical injuries. So even before I had Beckham, those had a really big impact on my career and my ability to progress in my career. So I think even before I became pregnant and had Beckham, I got really good at kind of pivoting my career as needed and knowing when to take a step back and kind of pausing the growth. So I don't know necessarily that having Beckham is what's impacted it the most, but I think just there's been lots of compounding factors over the years. So I don't want to say just being a single mom will have a huge impact, but I think a few different things will impact it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So your various experiences have had you sort of think in terms of how you want to manage and balance your career. So do you see yourself as someone who's avidly interested in having a career? Have you ever seen yourself that way, as someone who wants to keep, you know, going up the ladder?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's something I've really struggled with over the years, is not being where I want to be in my career. And that's really hard. I don't know if I had unrealistic expectations, but I kind of thought, you know, I would be further along than where I am. And so that's been really humbling, to take a step back based on everything that's happened, right? Whether it be like injuries, parenting. So a lot of different compounding factors have impacted my growth. And it's been hard at times to kind of think or see peers further along than I am and want to be where they are.
Okay. But because you've got that positive approach, you can sort of swing over to thinking, okay, that's what that is, and now we figure out something else.
That's it. It's just, and I think it comes back to the title of your podcast, resiliency, right? You just have to understand that there's going to be things that will happen throughout your career, and you have to pivot. You got to pivot, redirect, rearrange, recoup so many different times. There's never been a moment though where I thought I could see myself not working. I really value having a career. It's really important to me.
Yeah. I always say that working is part of my natural habitat. I just love the problems of work and so on, and just the variety it gives you. And you know what, when I think of it, when you think of, not nowadays so much, but one group of people I really admire is stay-at-home moms, because I don't know how they do that.
You know, I don't know that I could do that. I think parenting and being home with children, and this might be a bit of a controversial opinion, but I think it's sometimes harder than being in the workplace. I really do, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In different ways, but it's not easy. No, I couldn't do it.
And you know, in that time frame, when you know the man would go out to work and the woman would stay home with the kids and so on, it was a man. I don't know if you know this phrase, but a man will work from sun to sun, a woman's work is never done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because those moms that we salute that stay home with their kids and do that job, it's a very tough one. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think are the misconceptions about single parenthood?
I think a big misconception people would have would be the relationship with the other parent. So a lot of times people just assume that I don't have a great relationship with his dad, and they're often really surprised that I do. So that's a misconception that people think, is that all separated families are difficult, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like that, or not for everybody, right? I understand I'm privileged and not having that, but I also think another misconception is that we maybe can't do as much in the workplace, right? So I think that's a tough one too, right? I don't know if that's just my bias, but sometimes I think when people hear, oh, you're a single mom, it's assumed, well, you know, you maybe can't take on as much, right? And if your kid's sick, you're the one that's going to have to be home. And that's not necessarily true either, right? Sometimes you can have a really good support system in place and be able to do just as much as somebody who's not.
Yeah, I think that is a big one that hopefully we're getting better at, because that is a big one, that somehow it impacts your career more than the person sitting next to you. And to your point, there's so many things going on with anybody, right? And their background and so on, that being a single mom is just one thing. It's just an aspect of you. As a matter of fact, sometimes it makes you much more time management focused than maybe somebody else who doesn't have those kind of obligations.
Yeah. And I think just parenting, like being a parent, either parent, right? It's hard sometimes with work. And so like over the last couple of weeks, my son's been really sick a lot. And that's been really hard because we've had to keep him home from daycare like 4 days and arranging childcare. And I have had to miss some work, taking him to appointments. And, and it's hard. You feel a lot of guilt. Like, are they going to be mad at me? Am I going to be judged? Am I going to be reprimanded at work for missing all of this time? And so I think any parent really, because moms, dads, everybody has to do that. And I think that's a misconception or a challenge about parenting in the workplace in general.
Yeah. It's also how you feel, right? I always think, I've always said this, that when you have a child, you give birth to the child and that's great. And then you give birth to worry and guilt.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Those are attached.
And that goes back to the quote I said earlier too, about always seeking validation. I really don't like when I'm not performing well. I take it personally. I always worry, like, is my manager judging me? Are they going to look negatively for promotions or, you know, based on work missed for childcare? And I'm very lucky. I work for a great company and that would never happen, but it's a bias. It's a worry. It's a fear.
Yeah. Sure. And you're right. I think it's more what we put on ourselves, but sure, we want to be performers. That's kind of how people like you were raised, was to perform and be competitive. I don't mean in a nasty way competitive, but to be competitive and to say, and you know, it always concerns me a little bit when people like you who are so accomplished say, you know, I thought I'd be in a different spot in my career at this point, when everything that you've done has added to your skills, to what you can do, to what you will do. And, you know, again, on one of my podcasts, in talking with somebody who's had a very successful career. And one of the things that he said is, you know what, when you're coming up in your career, everything is an experience and everything adds up to help you as you go along. So, you know, it's something to remember, that everything you do every day when you're at that stage of your career is a learning experience and very interesting.
It is. And I often set almost, I don't want to say unrealistic expectations, because I don't think you can dream too big, but I remember the day I started working for the bank. I was young, I was eager, and I just thought by now I'd be the CEO, you know? I'm kidding. Maybe not the CEO, but I just had these visions, right, of moving up into this executive role. I remember being young and being in New York City and thinking, I'm going to be a trader in New York City someday, and that's what I'm going to do. And so I do. I have to take a step back all the time and kind of celebrate the successes that I have had and, and just be grateful for where I am.
And appreciate and enjoy. So if you were talking to other single moms, and they were looking for advice, what would be a couple of pieces of advice you would give other single moms?
Build your support system. Build your support system. And I will acknowledge my privilege that I have, that my son's father's really supportive. And I have, like, my parents live down the street and they're really involved. But if you don't have that, find it. Whether that be a community, a mom group, a therapist, just find something. Find your support. Whatever that looks like for you, you need it. And also, manage your expectations. That's one that I always struggle with. Manage your expectations of yourself, because it's okay to not do everything. And I always tell that. So I have a few friends that are single moms, and I always say, and we kind of laugh to each other, like, something's got to give at some point. Every night, your house isn't going to be spotless. Your kids are not going to be eating a homemade meal. And so that's another one. Manage your expectations of yourself and give yourself grace and compassion, because you are doing the best you can. And I'm sure you're doing a great job.
Yeah, I think, and maybe you probably agree, that it is nice to know other single moms and to know other single parents, because you sort of can share ideas and share experiences. And as you say, yeah, don't be too hard on yourself, right? Because we're so hard on ourselves. Unnecessarily. So
it is. My mom always says to me, because sometimes I give myself a really hard time about it. And she always says, is your kid loved? Is he safe? Is he happy? And is he fed? Does it really matter that he had chicken nuggets 2 days in a row? It's his favorite food. Like, give yourself some grace in that. You're doing the best you can. You know, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Like, focus on the foundational things of safety and love. Like, that's what a child needs, is attention, safety, love. Like, yes. I've come to terms with the fact that I'm not providing him wonderful home-cooked meals every night. That's just not my reality right now. Our temporary space is we eat fish sticks and chicken nuggets, and we have lots of love. So that's what matters.
Yep. And feeling, that's what he's going to remember, is the feeling that you had in your house. So.
Yep.
I wanted to move over to the three questions that I'm asking everybody. So the first is, what has been the best career advice you have received?
I remember a conversation I had with a mentor, and they said, always have a 10-year plan. So have a 10-year plan for yourself of where you want to be. And then when you choose your next roles, look at the skills that you need to fill and the knowledge gaps that you need to fill to prepare yourself for that role. So when I'm choosing roles or looking at my career trajectory, I always look at, what skills do I need to build to prepare me for my long-term goal? So I don't necessarily look at levels. So I'm not thinking, oh, I need to move up a level, or I need this job title, or I need this specific role. I look at, what gaps, where can I build myself to prepare for where I want to be, and then fill my gaps kind of that way. So that, I really like that. And that really stuck with me throughout my career.
Oh, I really love that. And, you know, I've had a fairly lengthy career, and I've gone forward, I've gone up, I've gone sideways. Mm-hmm. I've even gone backwards because of the experience you would get from it, and the ability to learn from that, so that your next step can be over here or over there, because you learn from everything you do. So I do like that. I would struggle, to be honest, all my life I would have struggled with having a 10-year plan, because I'm very focused. And if I say I'm going to do something and it's a 10-year plan, by God, I'm going to do that 10-year plan. So
it's a long time.
So, okay. So second is there a book that you've read that really spoke to you and influenced you?
For sure. I would say there's two that really stick out. Anything Brené Brown. I feel like you've probably heard that lots. She's so good, but Rising Strong. So I had read some of her stuff before, but right after my separation, my mom brought me over that book. And I remember her saying, you're going to read this and it's going to be okay. And so that was a really impactful one for sure. And then another one that really stuck with me is The Untethered Soul. It's a bit more spiritual, but it's about objectively seeing our thoughts and emotions and how to disconnect yourself from suffering and how to recognize thought patterns and kind of disconnect yourself from them. It was really good. It's really good.
Yeah, I think that's helpful, because our mind can tell us lots of strange things that sometimes we believe.
And I remember reading that book, and pretty quick into it, like the first couple chapters, it was pretty interesting, because he talks about how much attention we give our internal dialogue, and often we don't realize it, and how to you basically give it a name, you recognize its personality. And so I remember the first week after I read that book, just going around, and every time I'm thinking in my head, thinking like, oh, there it goes again, right? Like, this isn't me, this is just my thoughts. And it was really interesting to kind of objectively observe it and remove yourself from it. So it was really interesting.
Yeah. In some ways you'd think your thoughts would be your best friend, but it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. So having a conscious thought process about your thoughts, I think is incredibly helpful. Those are two really great ideas. My third one is, what advice would you give your younger self?
Oh, I had fun with this one. I put a lot of thought into this question. I think the biggest thing that I took away was, I wish I moved abroad. And obviously I wouldn't change anything. I love where I am in my life and I've got a great son. Yeah, I wish I traveled more. I really do. And I know I will again, but I wish when I was younger, that's something that I always regretted. I had lots of opportunities to move outside of Canada. And I think I let fear get in the way and I didn't do it. And I chickened out and I was really close a few times. And so that's something I've kind of always regretted, was I wish I had lived abroad. You learn so much from being outside your comfort zone, from new experiences, new people. And I just, I would tell my younger self, do it. Don't be afraid, move.
Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid, be a little bit more adventurous, which is what that would be to me, is adventurous and very courageous, I suppose, too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And also don't be afraid to ask for what you want. I wish that I spoke up more and that I just wish I spoke up more when I was younger too, about what I wanted when I was starting my career, when I was in school. I've always been so focused, like I've said multiple times, on like people pleaser, right? It's really important to me that people like me and I care so much. And I wish I knew at a younger age that it's really none of my business if people like me. And I didn't worry so much, right? So, and I wish I kind of understood that, but I think you kind of have to go through the motions and have lots of experiences to come to that conclusion on your own. But
Oh, those are three great things. Thanks for answering those questions. Mm-hmm. And I will spin them into my blog on my website. I think those are all the questions I had to ask you. Was there anything that I didn't ask you that I should have, or any point that you would like to bring out?
I think this was great. I think this was so good. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Lindsay. I really appreciate talking with you. And I know you, and I know the kind of positive person that you are. And I know that sometimes that is a struggle. And yet you're one of those people that I think people really appreciate being friends with. You're just that kind of person. You're a supportive friend and a kind person and a positive presence. And what more could you ask of someone? So tell your thoughts that the next time you're thinking.
Thank you.
So to our viewers and listeners, thank you so much for joining Lindsay and me today. It's a complicated trajectory to have a career and be a single mom. I like some of the things that Lindsay said in terms of the support system. It is great because I think that we do have a bit of a paradigm that a breakup is pretty acrimonious. And I think a lot of them are. So the fact that Lindsay's isn't is just part of the kind of strength that she has. So I hope you enjoy talking with or listening to us today. And please, if you are a listener, listen wherever you get your podcasts. If you're a viewer, we're on YouTube as well. And if you have a chance, take a look at the website, career-resilience.com. All the podcasts and YouTube videos are listed there. So thanks for joining us, and until we meet again.